Welcome to High Latitude Healthy. I'm your host, Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. If you live anywhere in the U.S. besides Hawaii, we have cutting-edge science to share with you that can improve your health. Here's to living high latitude healthy. Hello, welcome to High Latitude Healthy. I'm your host, Dr. Eileen Karpfinger, and today I have the pleasure of having Sianna Dopps on our show. Sianna is somebody that I've been watching on social media, and she does a really good job of explaining a lot of mitochondrial lessons, and I just wanted to invite her on to interview, and well, here she is. Welcome, Sianna.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Tell us where you're coming in from.
I'm in Colorado. I'm 8,500 feet up in the mountains.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty cool.
Big difference from Viroqua, Wisconsin, which is probably at sea level, I would imagine. Tell us about yourself, Sianna.
I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, which means I help people support their bodies with food and lifestyle changes. But I believe, or my approach is that nutrition and nourishing your body is more than just the food you eat. I think it's about the light that you see, the state of the water in your body. It's just so much more than just the food. And that's because I found this type of science, which didn't happen right away. So when I first started getting into health and wellness, I was interested in things like seed oils and ingredient labels and food additives and, you know, toxins and products. And I had no idea about this whole other way of looking at health, which is what people call quantum biology or applied quantum biology. And as I was listening, or as I was going through the nutritional therapy program, I was listening to a ton of podcasts, and it was just like a slow building of knowledge that I came across all these different things. So like I listened to all these podcasts, and the more I listened to, the more rabbit holes and different topics and different people I came across. And I came across some really cool stuff, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, it sounds like my same journey where I was introduced to Jack Cruz a bunch of years ago. And then I was like, what is this? And I was in a major crisis when that happened. So it was super helpful for me to be like, okay, well, I'm going to start trying these things because all my tricks that I'd done for so long weren't working for me. And it was what I tell my listeners, this invisible health that we take for granted. And then when it's not there, we don't even know it was there in the first place.
Right.
And now it's something we have to work on, and we didn't even know it existed. So here we are. And I wanted to have you start with, talk to us about what's changed for you when you started doing circadian health things, this quantum biology stuff. What started changing for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has really widespread effects on your health because it does support whole body function, because your mitochondria are so important and, you know, vital to cellular health and energy. But just one example related to circadian rhythm and light is going outside first thing in the morning after you wake up to get natural light in your eyes. I think this makes a difference for everyone because light is information for your body, and your eyes have photoreceptors that capture signals from the sun and convey this information to the rest of your body. So, for example, when you go outside in the morning, especially around sunrise, the wavelengths of light at that time, they communicate to your brain that the day is starting. So melatonin, which is your sleepy hormone, it gets suppressed, and then your mitochondria are signaled to make pregnenolone, which is like the mother hormone or precursor to all your steroid hormones, including cortisol. So that's just one example, going outside in the morning, which gives you energy. It supports healthy hormones. It regulates your circadian rhythm, which is really crucial for everything in your body. And then for me, one specific example I can think of is I think I personally burn less, going outside more, being exposed to natural light at different times during the day, not using sunglasses and sunscreen like every time I'm outside. And I think a lot of other people notice that as well once they start doing this like circadian work.
Hey, listeners, I'm just coming off of some kind of bug that my immune system's working hard. So excuse the clearing of the throat thing. Sienna, about that, not having to wear sunscreen and not burning and things like that. I want to speak to that a little bit more real quickly because I agree with that. There was something that I kind of figured out well before being a circadian geek that I am, that people that were burning, it's almost like the medicine that we're getting from the sun, the healing that we're getting from the sun, they needed so much more that it was coming in so dramatically that they were burning. Isn't that an interesting concept?
That is,
And that once you're getting enough in and that your body has a gentle flow of this coming through, that we don't burn anymore. It's
yeah,
like,
and that morning light is what preconditions your skin and your body to be, prepared for the more intense UVB rays later in the day. So if you're not getting the morning light, it's like you're shocking your body when you get the intense rays. And then the evening light is really healing and repairing. So you need all of it.
And I would even say the same thing about going through all of the seasons, right? So we live in areas that are four seasons. So you're going to see spring sunlight is going to be milder than summer sunlight, and fall sunlight's going to be milder than summer sunlight, and winter sunlight is going to be so tiny. That if you give yourself sun all the way through the year, you're going to see that when summer comes around, your body's more ready for it than it would have been if you just stayed inside through all the cold weather and then just shocked your body with July 4th sunlight, right?
Right. Yeah, similar to going on vacation in the winter, like your winter time, and then you go to some tropical place and you just shock your body. Yeah.
Yeah, although I do recommend that for all the people living at higher latitudes to go get your medicinal holidays on, your vacations on through the winter, just to give yourself a little bit of extra help to get you through the winter, right?
Yeah, I agree. There's also something to be said about getting as much sun as you can during the summer. I just did a video on this. It's kind of funny that you mention it because when you get a lot of sun during the summer, which is what we were designed to do, you're storing that vitamin D for the winter months so that you can get through that.
And I wonder, have you seen the research on that? Because I saw that post that you did and I was curious about that. How long do we store that vitamin D in our cells that it would work towards February
Right. That
in
I'm not too
Florida?
sure about. I'm sure it depends on the person too, and just their overall lifestyle, and if they are going outside even in the winter. So I don't have a good answer for that, but I'm sure it depends.
And I do think that we get deeper and deeper mitochondrial light, light into our mitochondria at a deeper cellular level, which, beiges out our fat, right? We take our white fat and it'll add some mitochondria to it to beige it and move it towards brown fat, but it won't ever turn into brown fat. But I wonder if, as we're doing that in the summer, if we're getting deep sunlight and getting a deep tan, if we can just touch some sunlight throughout the days through the winter, and if that will just if it just encourages more connection. I wonder. I think
It
you're right.
might. Yeah.
That's cool. All right. And have you had some success with clients using just lifestyle changes with light and grounding and things like that?
Well, I have to say that my whole nutrition business is relatively new, so I don't have too many cases that I
Clients.
could talk about. But I mean, I'm pretty like immersed in all of this, and I do hear people talking about that just doing those things like being outside, getting natural light, blocking artificial light, all those types of things. I mean, it's just like I said, widespread effects. It's more energy, it's better sleep, it's a healthier relationship with the sun, which is always a good thing. And also just a decrease in someone's overall toxic load, because like artificial light is a toxin in a way, and so non-native EMFs too.
Yeah, I would say it's like raising the threshold so that you're living lower beyond the threshold of toxicity, right? So if we have more sunlight and more grounding and anything else that is encouraging our mitochondria to be spinning at a more crisp pace, we're going to see an easier effect on any of the toxic load that we have, right?
And I like to say that, your body knows what to do. It's constantly regenerating. It's designed to heal and get back into homeostasis. You just have to give it the right supportive environment, the right healthy inputs and information, to allow your body what it does best.
Right. So, when I listened to you, the reason I reached out is you had a brilliant way of explaining easy water. And easy water is exclusion zone water to our listeners. And I want Siana to give us a good, thorough lesson of easy water and what it is. And that's kind of what this show is about for me, is giving that lesson to just help us understand what our mitochondria is doing and what easy water is and how it affects our health. So, Sienna, are you prepared to give us a good, thorough lesson in
I
easy
do. Yes,
water?
this is exciting stuff.
Oh, great. Okay, well, take it away.
All right. Well, we all learn that water comes in three phases, right? Solid, liquid, and gas. But there has been some really great research and discoveries made, most notably by Dr. Gerald Pollack. And he's a professor out of the University of Washington. And what he found was a fourth phase of water that behaved differently than a typical liquid. And it's called exclusion zone water or easy water. You might also see it called structured water or biological water, and there's some other names as well, but I like exclusion zone water or easy. And so easy water is different than bulk water, which is liquid water where the molecules are moving around randomly and they aren't structured in any way. So tap water, for example, that would be bulk water. Easy water is gel-like. It's sort of the consistency of honey, and it's highly structured and organized, and it behaves as a liquid crystal. And liquid crystals are really cool. They have the ability to interact with electromagnetic fields or energy, and they act as an antenna, which is just one role of the water inside of you. So, how it's made is your mitochondria, they make ATP, CO2, and water. And in conventional biochemistry, they kind of treat that water as merely a byproduct, but it is so much more than that. Because what Pollack found was that when this bulk water comes into contact with a hydrophilic or water-loving surface, it organizes itself into H3O2 or exclusion zone water. The water molecules, they arrange themselves into a layered hexagonal lattice. It's creates these honeycomb-like sheets that stack parallel to the hydrophilic surface and build the exclusion zone. And the reason it's called exclusion zone, which is this reason is why I like calling it easy water, is because it excludes solutes and particles and impurities, basically anything larger than an electron. And this is due to that tightly packed arrangement and negative charge of the layered sheets, which basically pushes things out or makes it difficult for them to enter. So this excluding property makes easy water really protective for our bodies because, for example, it excludes toxins. So when that breaks down, toxins like heavy metals can enter. So as this exclusion zone builds next to a hydrophilic surface, it kicks out positive ions or protons into the bulk water beyond the zone, which leaves the easy layer negatively charged. And this creates a separation of charges between the negatively charged easy layer and the positively charged bulk water, which is right next to that. And the really, really cool part about this charge separation is that it creates a natural battery that stores potential energy, which can do all kinds of work inside of our bodies. And something that needs to be mentioned is what powers this whole process, and that is ambient radiant energy, particularly infrared light. So the absorption of infrared light is what causes the water molecules to separate their charges. And what Pollack says in his book, which I highly recommend, it's called The Fourth Phase of Water. He says, when you put energy into water, the output is other types of energy. So what he did is he showed that by inserting microelectrodes into each charge zone, the battery generates enough current that's powerful enough to light a small LED light bulb, which is super cool. And
Wasn't
he
his first experiment that his staff did, wasn't it that they just showed a light bulb on the water that was going around, and it made it move faster? Wasn't that right?
Yeah,
Wasn't
so I believe how it happened was one of his like lab assistants or students was kind of messing around with it and shined a light.
And it was just an incandescent light bulb, which has
I
infrared.
believe so. Yeah, it was kind of an accident that they figured, because they were trying to figure out what causes this exclusion zone, like what's the force behind it, what powers it. And they were working for a long time, and then it was kind of an accident that they figured out that it's light, basically.
He's like, "You're not going to believe this." And that was so cool. Yeah, keep
Yeah,
going. I
I
hope you
know, it's
didn't lose your
super
train of
cool.
thought.
No.
Okay, good.
And so your body has a lot of hydrophilic surfaces, like every protein, enzyme, membrane, hormone, mineral, your mitochondria, et cetera. They're surrounded with easy water because they are a hydrophilic surface. And easy water, it has the ability to move and pass and flow electrons, which makes it a semiconductor of electrons. So that's another really cool property of easy water. And this is what allows communication to happen within your body. It's your body's energy currency. And we also really can't talk about easy water and the communication and the flow of energy inside your body without talking about connective tissue. Connective tissue is everywhere in your body. It goes by a lot of different names depending on where it's located, but it interconnects everything down to the cellular level. So fascia is a type of connective tissue, and it's like a web that wraps around your muscles and your bones and your organs and nerves. And if you, like, let's say you took the fascia, like just the fascia out of a body, it would look like a continuous 3D spider web or mirror of the human shape. So the point is that fascia is all over and it serves as a whole body communication network. And it is mostly made of collagen, which makes it a very highly hydrophilic surface. So fascia holds and is lined by a ton of easy water, and that's going everywhere in your body. And because easy water's liquid, because of its liquid crystal properties and its semiconduction abilities, and the fact that your fascia is a continuous web throughout your whole body, it creates this living matrix. And it's also constantly changing and remodeling itself. So it essentially allows energy and subatomic information to travel instantaneously, which is kind of wild to think about. And I have to mention Carrie Bennett. She does an amazing job of explaining
Yeah,
this easy water
you
connective
reminded
tissue.
me of her.
Yeah, she does such a good job of explaining this whole like living matrix system. And she calls this the connective tissue quantum communication superhighway, which is a great way to describe it.
Yes, and
Yeah.
what's interesting to me is the I talk about the plasma that's outside of us. So if you and I were sitting in the same room, between us is this empty space. Well, this empty space is conscious plasma, correct?
Right.
And that plasma interfaces with our fascia. It interfaces with our connective tissue with that easy water that's in our structure. And I find that to be, that's just mind-blowing to me,
It is.
that
Yeah,
that's the new
it
information that
really,
we have.
yeah, this water network, it really creates this whole interconnected system throughout our body. And it really is the battery that powers all cellular function. And when it breaks down, you get poor communication, you get poor electron flow and less energy, which, ultimately can lead to dis-ease in your body. So I think easy water is everything. It's so important.
Right. Well, fantastic. You did a great job of explaining easy water. I hope our listeners here are just as impressed with what this stuff is. And let's dive in a little bit more to what do you feel is okay. So let's talk about what degrades easy water in our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few things for sure. So, like I said, infrared light that drives the whole process of easy water formation. It builds and expands the exclusion zone. And the bigger the exclusion zone, the bigger the battery, which means more potential energy for the body. So, whenever there's sunlight, there's infrared light. It makes up, I believe, a little over 50% of sunlight, which we feel is heat. So, living an indoor lifestyle is a huge cause of low easy water. It doesn't necessarily destroy it, but you're getting very little infrared, which is what builds it. And then things that actually destroy easy water and break down that water network include toxins, especially glyphosate and other pesticides, fluoride and heavy metals, especially aluminum. So this makes it really important to buy organic food and filter your water as well. And then another huge one is non-native EMFs because they are just very chaotic, unnatural signals for our body, and it's an energy interference. It steals electrons, it disrupts the structure and the size of the exclusion zone, so it shrinks or diminishes it. And I believe that it's been shown that 20 minutes of exposure shrinks it by 20%. And I think that statistic is for Wi-Fi specifically, which we all have around us.
I'm sitting
So
in it
heavy
right
water.
now, just bathing in it. Oh my
I
goodness.
know, yeah. I mean, there are things you can do about it, but heavy wireless tech use, like always using Bluetooth headphones, or being really close to your Wi-Fi router all the time, having your phone like on your body a lot, that would be an easy water destroyer, or at least it shrinks the exclusion zone, which we don't want because we want big exclusion zones. And then one more cause of low easy water is a sedentary lifestyle. So our connective tissue is piezoelectric. I'm not sure what the correct
Either's
pronunciation is.
fine. Either of those works.
But that means when it is physically moved or stretched or compressed, it generates electrical charge, and that gives us electrons and energy to support the water. So being sedentary means basically a lack of generating energy. And then movement is also essential for hydrating your fascia, and hydrated fascia is important for big healthy exclusion zones. So those are the big ones. Lack of infrared light, toxins, non-native EMFs, which are a type of toxin, and then lack of movement. And I would say really anything that damages your mitochondrial health will also have a negative effect on easy water.
Very, very good. I think the one that you said, but you didn't say it outright, is that our artificial light environment is what is keeping us away from the infrared environment that we need outside. So being indoors is one thing where you're lacking sunlight, but also turning on artificial lights in your home environment or outside is going to impede your ability for your body to receive the red light that you need, the infrared
Exactly.
light.
Yeah. And our modern light bulbs have no infrared. And then our windows also block it out. So when you're inside, you're really getting very little infrared.
So, you talked a bit about what builds easy water. I wanted to explain to our listeners, I know I've said this in past shows, that animals that live in, or plants that live in water, their easy water, some of their easy water at least, is on the outside of them. So when you pick up a fish, when you catch a fish and you feel that slimy feeling on the fish, that is exclusion zone water on the outside so that they can glide smoothly through the water. I just wanted to share that because it's an easy thing around here. People fish a lot so they can feel that fish. let's talk about ways that we can increase our easy water. And let's talk about how long it takes for light to impact that. Because I understand our easy water gets thicker and thicker. Our easy water field will get thicker and thicker as we're in infrared light, and I'm wondering how much time we need to be in the light and things like that. So, can you share how we increase our easy water? That'd be great.
So really a lot of what builds easy water is the opposite of what destroys it. So again, infrared heat is an easy expander, and that means being outside in sunlight, but it's not just sunlight. Saunas and cuddling are also sources of infrared
Ooh.
heat.
And wood-burning stoves. Like
Fires.
fire's
I
real
think,
infrared.
a lot of us, or most of us, are pretty infrared deficient these days. So that's the biggest one for sure on how to increase easy water. And then exercise is an easy expander because as you're moving your body and connective tissue, you're generating that electrical charge. And cold exposure, because it causes your mitochondria to generate infrared heat inside the cell, which is really cool. And then grounding is really a really easy one. It's an easy expander because it flows electrons from the surface of the earth into our bodies, which is, that's how we were meant to live, being plugged into the earth. You're supplying your body with free electrons, which allows bigger exclusion zones to be built, and overall also supports your mitochondria. And that's a really, all you have to do is go outside and stand on the ground. So that's a really easy one. A couple like
Go ahead.
food-based ones, or yeah, like food-based.
Nutritional ones,
Drinking easy rich water, and being hydrated overall is important, especially for your connective tissue living matrix. So examples would be vortexed water, mineral water, glacial melt water, and spring water. Those are all easy rich. And you want minerals in your water because they build exclusion zones around them. Fresh fruits and vegetables are also an amazing source of easy water. So think like water-dense fruits and vegetables like watermelon and cucumbers, celery, strawberries, that kind of thing. The water in these plants is already naturally structured. So you're eating structured water.
Yeah, perfect. Reminding people that it must be glyphosate free to do that. So you want to eat organic fruits and vegetables. And also, it does matter if it's seasonally growing in your area. So if
It
you're
does,
eating pineapple or papaya or coconut water in your area, and those plants do not grow in your area, you are probably not feeding your body as well as if you were eating the berries and the apples and the tomatoes that are in your area growing now.
Because food is information for your body, and the light and the water that's stored in that food, it has an, imprint of its environment. It's going to be different in Canada versus Costa Rica.
Right.
So eating seasonally and local food is really good.
So, what can we expect to see improve when we focus on things that improve our easy water?
Similar to anything that improves your mitochondria, I think improvements are across the board. And it also really depends on the unique situation of a person and what they might be struggling with specifically, because it is so widespread. But there are definitely some signs of low easy water. And when we focus on things that build and maintain it, those symptoms will likely get better. A couple of examples could be tissue stiffness, so you have lots of knots, feeling dehydrated all of the time, having chronic inflammation or high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and cancer are actually linked to low easy water. And another one would be feeling puffy or swollen, because that would be a sign of excess bulk water that you're storing in your body. So I really do believe that easy water is foundational, and I've come to apply it to every aspect of health because it is the battery that powers all cellular function and drives communication and energy flow in your body. And if energy and communication aren't optimal and efficient, things break down and they don't function as well. And we are 99% water by molecular count, so 99 out of every 100 molecules in our body are water. So of course water plays a huge role in our health and our life. And after learning about easy water, I think people can appreciate that this water is special. It's something that we have to take care of. And in my opinion, it really so much of health. And when you improve it, it improves everything about your health.
Do you know, is it called Michiemoto? Imoto, Dr. Imoto, and how he did studies on speaking to water and how the water changed when he'd freeze it, right?
Like Veda Austin's work.
yeah, Veda Austin's newer, she's doing the newer version of that, right? So Veda Austin takes water and freezes it in a certain way. She almost freezes it. And as she's doing that, she's talking to it, or what Dr. Emoto would do would be play certain music to it, or he would write on the label, "You are ugly" or "You are beautiful," and then he would see the crystal that would form in the water. And what I'm coming to is the research that they're doing is that water is highly suggestible, and so it has this ability to, it feels to me like a golden retriever. It's like if you say "I love you" to it really perks up and is easy for you. And I know a lot of people in our world will not allow their water to be sitting in an environment where there's ugly news happening or there's fighting going on. And, like if couples, I've seen some of our other influencers talk about if they're fighting with their husband, they're like covering their water and putting it away for a while before they bring it back. And I wonder if speaking to ourselves, speaking to the water in our body, I don't wonder, I know this is true, but I want us to speak to this a little bit, that even just talking to our easy water in our body as having some influence on it being encouraged and healthy.
I totally agree. And then the other part too is our water in nature, it moves, it flows, it spirals, and it's not meant to just sit still. It's not meant to go through these straight pipes like it does for our tap water.
Yes.
It's just an unnatural way for water to behave. So even like swirling your water, like vortexing it, that will help bring some more life back into it.
Yeah, I also put my water, I distill my water and then I put it outside in a glass jar and sit it on the ground, and it sits out there for days in the sun and the moon and all the planets swirling around before I drink it. And I think
I love
that's
making sun tea,
me
because
too.
you're just letting it sit in the sun, which is
Yeah,
great.
it's nice. All right, well, tell me, what is your, you got a new nutrition focus or new nutrition practice. What is your favorite focus that you're working on right now?
My favorite thing, I think, is teaching people about light and their light environment. I think it's such a simple practice and thing that we've
Yes.
just become so removed from. It's just so different and unnatural for our bodies. And it's really only happened in the last 150 years or so that we've had
Yes.
all this artificial light and ability to not be outside and live in alignment with the sun. So that one is huge for people, I think. Just focusing on that, it might be more important than like food, for example. I think your light environment might be more important than what you eat, because
Absolutely.
if you have a bad light environment, your body's not getting the right signals, it's not getting the right cues, hormones aren't, properly being secreted or made. So it just has such a huge effect that I really like talking about light.
Fantastic. And do you have a client base at all that are you working on fertility with people, or is that a focus that you like working with? I like working with women with going through menopause, because that's the world that I'm in right now. Is I'm through the gate, but it's such a giant need for clients. They need to know how to navigate through this, and I see such great effect with quantum biology. And I'm wondering who you like working with.
I'm still trying to find like my niche. The nutritional therapy program, it really focused on five foundations of health. So they taught us about nutrient-dense diet, digestion, blood sugar regulation, sleep, and stress. So it's just a really great overview of how your body works and what you need and how to support it very naturally. And I think now that I know about this applied quantum biology stuff, it really, I go a little deeper and I take it a little further than just the food and the sleep and the stress and how things like exclusion zone water and light and grounding and EMFs, they all play a role as well. And you can really work it into all of those topics. But yeah, I'm still trying to find my niche. I think I do take a different approach than a lot of people, because a lot of people don't know about this. It really is something that needs to be talked about more.
I used to, before I became a chiropractor, I was doing my prerequisites for getting into medical school, chiropractic school. And I started detoxing and I did a whole business on helping people detox. It was like a whole new thing in the early 90s. And I noticed that about 70% of the people that I would work with would get really good effects. I mean, across the board, 70% would have tremendous results with just detoxing. And now that I know about this invisible vitality that you have to have for any of that stuff to be effective, I realize why 30% of the people that I was working with were just getting really kind of lackluster results. And it was because their mitochondria just didn't have enough spin to do anything with what we were giving it. So I've noticed that across the board that if we all take care of this vitality that needs to be there in the first place, we're gonna see effect no matter what. You're gonna get good results, but you do have to take care of this. If what you do on a regular basis, and some of you that I'm talking to here know that I'm talking to you. If you're used to doing the same detox every spring or every fall, and you're not getting the results you used to get anymore, it's likely because you have been neglecting your light environment and your grounding environment and, the things that help your vitality stay to the point where using a detox can be effective.
I think an issue is that we kind of just live as if every day is the same throughout the year. And, there's people who live in areas where it doesn't really change that much throughout the year. I lived in Hawaii for 3 years, so it was, kind of the same weather
Easy,
every day.
yeah.
Yeah. But if you do live in an area with four seasons, I think you have to live with those seasons and you have to be aligned with the food that grows with those seasons and when the sun is coming up and when the sun is going down. And, during summer, you're eating maybe more hydrating foods. And then during the winter, you're kind of taking more time and slowing down a little bit and eating hearty, like warming foods. So I think we don't really do that anymore.
Yeah, and sleeping more, right? And I mean, it's funny because the house that I was living in Viroqua, the neighbor, spring came around. She's like, "Where have you been?" And I was like, "I've been home." And she's like, "You have not been home. Your lights have never been on. Like, you've not been around." And I was like, "I was home. We just don't turn on the lights." And in the winter, that really stands out because people are turning on their lights at 4 in the afternoon because you have to, and I just wouldn't. And we're kind of walking around in the dark and going to bed early because it's winter.
And you can, it doesn't have to be like all or nothing, so like for example, the artificial light, it's not great, but if you can get incandescent light bulbs, for example, that's so much better just for your body. The information of that light is so much better than an LED bulb or a fluorescent bulb. And you can get blue blockers, for example. Like if you do have to work on your computer at night, there are things that you can do to minimize any effects.
And my daughter used to play volleyball, and I'd go to her volleyball tournaments and wearing these weird red glasses because it would be in the winter, and I would wear these red lens glasses to kind of combat the bright light of the gym in the evening. And I see more and more people doing that. More people on screens with their red glasses on during the day, a yellow glass, because you can allow some of the blue light through. At night, a red glass to make sure you're getting zero of that.
Yeah,
I
because blue
agree.
light, it's not, blue light isn't bad. We need blue light from the sun. That's what gives us energy and makes us alert and awake, but it's the blue light at night that is very confusing for our bodies.
Yeah, Jack Cruise talks about casinos when they figured out that screens, the screens on the slot machine, if they made it blue like they have, and they block out all the sunlight outside and they have artificial blue light in the place, people stayed up all night and drank and played and were gambling all night because they didn't get tired because they were amped up from this blue light. Well, guess what? These screens have never changed. They've been blue light the whole time. So they're meant to be stimulating your TV, your I have a Apple product. So I have an Apple phone and a what is this called? A laptop thing. And they're still blue light. So I have a screen on my phone, a screensaver, no, a screen shield on my
Filter.
phone. Yep. It's not the filter, it's the thing that saves the screen, a screensaver. Like if I drop my phone, it's literally a
Oh,
red
okay. Like a
thing.
screen protector.
Yeah, screen protector that is red. So, everything that I'm seeing, I'm used to it now, so it doesn't look red to me, but it is redder than what I would be seeing if this thing wasn't on there. And so that's helpful.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just have the red filter on my phone. So if you triple click the power button, it turns it completely red and then eliminates the blue and green light, which is really helpful for people at night, especially if they don't have blue blocking glasses.
Did you have to buy that, or is that something
No, you
that's.
just go to settings,
Is this
and
on
then
your iPhone? Okay.
iPhone settings, and then accessibility, and then you have to go to color filters, and basically you turn like the hue and intensity to a certain way so that it's red, like completely red.
Right. And you can do that for a certain time of the day, right? You can,
Yeah,
I
so
think there
what
can be
I
like in
do,
night mode, you can do that, right?
well, there is a night mode, but that kind of just makes it orange. It just is a little tint, and that doesn't, I don't believe it does very much. This red filter, it should completely remove the blue light. And I have it set up as an accessibility shortcut. So whenever I triple click the power button on my phone, it'll automatically turn red. So it's really useful.
Fantastic. Okay. So we have a good 10 to 12 minutes left of our conversation. And I think this has been a very rich environment so far of sharing great information. Tell me something else you want to share about mitochondrial health that would be useful for the listeners.
Well, actually, what I forgot to mention about how to build easy water in your bodies or in your body is Pollock's lab also found that healthy fats like
Oh,
ghee and
yes.
coconut oil and lard and MCT oil also generate very large exclusion zones. And then probiotic-rich foods as well, because bacteria have hydrophilic surfaces, so they build exclusion zones around them. And then the interesting thing about this that I don't know too much about, but I do know that if you're consuming these things in a normal amount, it's very therapeutic. But if you go overboard with it, it kind of does the opposite, which is very interesting. And I can't comment on that too much more. But just eating these healthy fats and probiotic foods in a normal amount.
Right. And that also includes grass-fed. If you want ghee, you want it to be grass-fed. And same with meat, it needs to be grass-fed to have the least deuterium in it, which is going to gunk up your mitochondria, which will make easy water.
And really, I think it all comes down to like supporting and maintaining, expanding and building that exclusion zone water. I think it really comes down to just being outside and living a more natural life. Surrounding yourself with natural light and healing frequencies and to actually touching the earth and drinking clean water and eating fresh foods that are in your area. And again, being aware of your tech use, like turning off your Wi-Fi at night and maybe using Ethernet and wired headphones instead of Bluetooth.
Yeah, I only use, and my kid is only allowed to use a wired headphone on her iPhone. I wonder if you want to speak to how we can do this in the winter. I have leather bottom slippers, which were pretty inexpensive on eBay. They were like boiled wool leather top. I mean, boiled wool top with a leather bottom. You really have to do your searching to get something, a moccasin that doesn't have now a plastic bottom under it. But I feel like in the winter, wearing those and stepping on the snow while you look at the morning light is a good way to kind of just keep yourself connected to the earth. And to do this daily throughout the year, I would like to challenge our listeners to really try to get your feet on the ground every day for a year, whether it's raining out, any of that, feet on the ground, looking at the sun in the morning, is a great foundation. And I wonder if you have any tricks for winter because, you know, who
Yeah,
wants to step in the snow in the winter? You know,
it's
it's
tough.
cold.
Yeah, it is tough. And like I said, I've been living in Hawaii for the past 3 years, so it
Yeah.
hasn't really been an issue that I've had to think about too much. But even just getting outside, like for a couple minutes in the morning, is great. If you can just do that, it's awesome. If it is really cold out, I think it is tough. Like if it's really bad weather and it's just snowing out and it's freezing, it might not be the most fun, but it is so beneficial for you, just even a few minutes. You could get like a grounding mat, if it's really tough. You do have to be careful though with like dirty electricity and plugging into your outlets. I'm not too familiar with how to take care of that, but that
Yeah.
is something you have to be aware of.
I just did a show on a company called Magnetico. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So Magnetico is a magnet system that you put under your mattress that is it's supplementing your grounding. It's not a grounding device. It's giving you the same feel that the earth gives you, but you can it's a way to sleep, or I mean, you could sit on your bed too and do your work there. But it's a way to give you the negative ions of the negative magnation of the magnet field, and it's giving you the exact energy that the earth gives you. And it's something that you can have, that you can sleep on. Also
Yeah, that's
decreases
interesting.
EMF radiation, which is great. So
Yeah, that's really cool.
we just got ours a couple weeks ago and I'm super excited.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
You can also, for getting that infrared light, do some saunas. Like if you have a gym membership and they have a sauna, I would definitely use it. And just, taking warm showers, taking warm baths, making fires, having your pet like cuddle with you, like sit on your lap, anything like that is going to generate infrared heat. And then movement too, because that generates heat inside your cell, or sorry,
Right.
cold exposure.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, great. Tell me what your day looks like today as far as your activities you do for your mitochondria.
Well, it's kind of funny actually. We've been sleeping outside on our deck
Wow,
the
nice.
past week because it gets really hot in our house. It was like 85 last night, so we just couldn't sleep inside. But that is a great start to my morning because I'm already outside.
Yeah.
So I wake up and I'm like already see the nice natural light. But if I'm inside, I'll go outside first thing in the morning, take my dog out. That's having a pet is a great way to get outside in the morning. And then I like to bake sourdough, so I'll eat my homemade sourdough. We have our tap water is filtered, and I just try to be outside, basically.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing that too. I also have a red light device that if I don't feel I'm getting enough therapeutic sun in the winter months, I sit in front of my glowing red light, which is nice. It's not an LED, it's brooding bulbs basically for chickens, to get some red light. And we have a cold plunge. It's especially useful in the winter. And in the summer, I still use it, but I can't get it as cold as I can in the winter. My biggest record is minus 13 degrees temperature and plunging at 37 degrees for 3 minutes. Yeah.
That sounds really chilly.
It was fine. It worked. And the only way I can keep my cold plunge from freezing solid is to put a trough warmer in it in the winter. Kind of crazy. Okay, so talk to us about how people can reach you if they want to, maybe they want to work with you or find you on social media or something like that.
My social media, or the social media that I'm on, is Instagram. It's Thriving in Toxicity is the is my what would you call that, my handle, or my name. And I post on there. I try to post multiple times a week. I do reels about exclusion zone water and light and some nutrition stuff, just things that I find interesting and want to share with people. And then I have my website. It's called Sunrise Nutrition. You can go to sunrisentp.com, and I have all of my offerings, one-on-one offerings on there as well that you can find.
Fantastic. Spell your website again.
It's sunriseNTP.com, so nutritional therapy practitioner,
Okay.
NTP.
All right. And I wish everybody could see Siana. She's like the picture of health. She's got like the most glowing skin and the brightest smile and such sparkling eyes. And she just is
Thank
the picture of
you.
health. Are you and your partner looking to have kids anytime soon?
I'm only 22, so I think
Okay,
we'll wait a little
not
longer. But
yet.
yes, at some
Nice.
point in the future.
Very cool. So why don't you give us any tidbit of wisdom that you'd like to share? It doesn't have to be about anything mitochondrial, just anything you'd like to share before we go.
My whole approach now is just helping people remember that we are part of nature, like we are nature. So we have to be aligned with it to support our bodies. And I think understanding the water in your body is a huge part of that because it is so foundational. And just trying to just live a more natural life, basically going outside, blocking the artificial light, getting away from technology a little bit. I think modernity really is the cause for so much ill health. So,
Yeah, I agree. I think we've gone so far off the path of
yeah,
what
it's just.
seems just, I don't think people can even comprehend how far off we've come.
Yeah, and in such a short amount of time, too. So, we really haven't had time to adapt.
Yeah, and the consequences, my goodness, what we're seeing,
Yeah.
right? Great. Well, I want to thank you again, Siana, for coming on the show, and you did a fantastic job. You
Thank
really
you. Yeah, this
covered
was
so
fun. I
much.
love talking about this stuff.
All right, I wanted to just remind everybody we're on High Latitude Healthy. I'm Dr. Eileen Karpfinger. I'm your host, and you can find us on Spotify, your Apple devices, on WDRT's website, WDRT.org. And I hope you had a good time listening to me and Siana talking today. And I welcome you back next month.
High Latitude Healthy and all the show notes can be found at WDRT.org and as well on Spotify, YouTube, and on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Find us and follow us to keep up with our interviews. And if you'd like to email Dr. Eileen, email her at highlatitudehealthy@gmail.com. Here's to living high latitude healthy.